Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all today. Glad you made it to church. Amen. It's a good place to be. God is good. He's with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And even if we can't feel him sometimes, even if sometimes it doesn't seem like it, we know that he is because he said he is. Amen. And God's word is true. He cannot lie. Amen. And I'm just so thankful for that. You know, I keep forgetting to announce it and have her announce it, so I'm going to announce it real quick. If you've wondered about the, you know, the sound equipment and stuff, well, we're in the process of that, so we haven't just taken the money and run, amen? But we are in the process of setting it up. I was here this week and doing a lot of things that you can't see. You know, if there's new speakers or new things, you know, you can sometimes see those things, but we got electric. We had to run electric in the ceilings, or I had to run electric in the ceilings, and had to put a, you probably didn't even notice it as you come in, but there's a new ceiling in the entryway that was not there before. So stuff like that just to make things easier. And of course, there was a mess that I made in here. You wouldn't even want to have church in here earlier this week, but glory to God, most of that's in my office now. So glory, if you have to meet with me after, just forgive me. I'm asking for your forgiveness in advance. Glory to God. But we're getting everything together, getting stuff ordered. Some stuff is back ordered, so we're waiting for all those things, but amen, we're getting to that place because, you know, technology is such an important part of life, isn't it? Just such an important part of the service, and we just couldn't have church without technology, amen? Well, if it all shut down, we'd be fine anyways, but glory to God, we're gonna figure it out. Did we get the TVs working? The TVs are working, hallelujah. They were working all the way up until just before service, and then they stopped working. You might ask why. My friend, Pastor Scott Wise, he ministers sometimes here. If you remember him, but he is convinced that there is a technology demon that works specifically right before services, and he's actually convinced of it. Now he says it kind of tongue in cheek, but he is convinced of it because if you've ever worked in that part of the church service, you will know that it always seems to fail right in the most important times. But glory to God, how many know that God won't fail us? Amen. There's no God demon. Amen. There's no demon that can beat him, so praise the Lord. God's with us, so whether we have TVs or not, it just helps us if we can, but if we can't, well, praise the Lord, we go on with it. Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Hitting the Mark. Amen. And we're going to be talking about hitting the mark. Amen. We're going to be talking about keeping life right on track and right where it's supposed to be, because that's what we want. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I was thinking about this as I was putting this message together, because this is not what I was going to preach until, sometime this morning. I had to... What's that? About 7 this morning. Yeah, I had a different message planned. And you know, there's something that wasn't quite, you know, finished about it. And it was because that wasn't the message. So, well, praise the Lord. And so these are some things that there's been a lot of things on my heart lately. So it's sometimes it's interesting sorting all that out. But, you know, as I was putting this together, I was thinking about it. And, I was thinking about how I'm kind of an explorer at heart. Now, I'm also convenience at heart too, so I don't go too far out of my convenience to explore, but I do go to some lengths to explore. But one of the things that's always annoying when you're exploring, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I will, if somebody told me that some famous Indian chief sat on a rock up there on the hill, glory to God, I'm going to go find that, I want to go find that rock and see it, and sit on it too, amen, just see what he saw, amen. That's the way that I am. I mean, I love Google Maps because you can put little flags all over wherever. If you just press down and you put a flag there. And I've got places all over the world, places that are under a label, places I want to go. Amen? And some of them are as simple as a rock somewhere. Something as simple as, I heard a story on TV once about this murder that took place in this one place. And by God, I got to go see it. You know what I mean? There's nothing there. But I got to go see where that was. You know what I mean? So that's just how I am. I'm one of those people. See, I can fall into the tourist traps pretty easy. Yeah. Amen. But at any rate, I'm an explorer at heart. But there's nothing more annoying than when you've been somewhere, you sought something out, and you've been there, and maybe it was hard getting there. Maybe it was all kind of off the beaten path. And then you got back, and when you got back, you found out, man, there was something else there too. Yeah. Now, if you don't explore, you wouldn't know this. But this happens to me all the time. And I'll be looking, all of a sudden I'll see like a video or something on it, and I'll be like, wait a minute, I was just there. I was just there, but I missed it. I missed what was there. And I know I don't want to go back because it was too hard getting there the first time. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have this place when we go down to Gatlinburg to see Reverend Greer. We always go up into the mountain. There's this place called Klingman's Dome. It's a hike up onto the mountain that you, and you only hike the last, you can drive all but the last quarter mile. Right? It's the last quarter. No, or half mile, whatever, quarter mile, half mile, whatever. But that's not that far. We can walk that fairly easily. When you go there and you hike it, we always had these grand ideas of going back there and hiking it, because I don't know, you get up there and sometimes you see stuff, sometimes you can't. But you get up there to the top, and as you're getting there, like every couple hundred yards, you're stopping, especially if you're not, you know, good at hiking and stuff. If you don't do it all the time, you're stopping and you're taking a breather and stuff like that, because it's quite, you know, the air is getting thinner and it's getting harder to walk. I don't know why I brought that up, but I just figured you wanted to know that. Amen. But we want to hit the mark. Amen. There's nothing worse than saying, you know, at least we can say we've been there. You know, somebody says, yeah, we've been there. We've hit that mark. Amen. Well, the reason I think about that when it comes to this message is because how awful would it be to think about life and say, we lived this life. We went through all these trials. You know, I've been focusing a lot about how this life is really not the end, that there's a transition into the next life. And so we need to look at it and kind of lump it all together. But there's things that we're to do here, amen? But how, the Bible says it's good to suffer for righteousness. And so if we're suffering for the things of God, that's a good thing because there's a reward in that. But how many know that there's suffering in life regardless of whether you're righteous or not? Has anyone faced suffering when they weren't righteous, amen? So there's suffering in life whether you're righteous or not. How much would it stink to get to the end and find out all that suffering, you missed the mark? You suffered for no reason because the thing you were suffering for was worthless. It didn't matter. And so we don't want to live that way. You know, there's been so much, with this year and the Lord really dealing with me about Romans 12:2 and transforming our mind and transforming the way we're thinking. You know, there's a lot of things that are really going to be hammered in that this year. I believe that. In fact, one of the things that I know that I have to start preaching more about and I have to explore, and Tuesdays are coming up too, by the way. I just got some release in my spirit even this morning. I didn't even tell my wife yet, but praise the Lord. I was going to save it till later at dinner, but she already knew. She was picking up. Yeah, anyway. There's a lot of things that God's been dealing my heart about, but one of the greatest is why we do what we do. Amen. Why do we do this anyways? Why do we continue on in these things and for the love of God? And there's some wonderful things in that. But we're going to get to that stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we want to be accurate in how we do things. If we're going to be Christians, if we're going to suffer for Christ, which we are, then we're going to want to do so with meaning to it, with purpose behind it, with a sense at the end that we did this for good cause. Amen. Amen. There is not. How would you like to get to the end of your work week and have your boss tell you, well, there's no money to pay you. Thank you for working, though. You did a good job. I appreciate you being here. Nobody would like that, right? But we don't want to do the same thing with God. We don't want to get to the end of the time here, because we're only allotted so much time here. Amen? Now, that's not a bad thing. Because we're allotted a lot of time. If you're in existence, you'll be in existence for eternity, whether it's in heaven or hell, it's up to you. But the point is that there's a lot of good left for us, amen? And so even whatever we get to accomplish here, you have to understand that this isn't it, but this is a springboard into that, amen? Glory to God. That got so many analogies, I'd go into another one, but I'm not going to, because I'm just sensing you want to get into the word, amen? Well, maybe one more, amen? When I was in gymnastics, when I was in high school, believe it or not, I was on the gymnastics team. And I used to, my favorite event was the parallel bars. Those are two bars that are parallel, in case you didn't know what they are. And the parallel bars are, it takes a lot of, there's a lot of upper body strength that's needed and stuff like that. And so I had to do a lot of training to be able to be useful on it. But one of the things is we set the parallel bars. Now, when I was in grade school and we did it in gym class, we set the parallel bars this high off the ground. But when you're in the adult league, you can't do that because you have to be able to swing under the bars and have to have all the momentum and stuff like that. And so what we would do, and this was allowed, is to mount the parallel bars because they were way up in the air. We would set a springboard, glory to God, on the floor. And we would get on that springboard, and that would just give us enough bounce. We wouldn't bounce on it. We'd just give it one bounce, and it would thrust you into the thing. Amen? That's how we want to go into eternity. Yeah. Glory to God. We don't want to take this life and just be like, oh, I stumbled through this life. Boom, I just barely got here. No, we want to spring into eternity. Let's spring into the things of God. Let's spring into what he has for us. Because God doesn't, and see, this is a lot of things. A lot of people say, well, why did God allow this to happen? Or why does he allow this? Or why doesn't he stop this? You have to remember, God doesn't see this life the way we do. We see this life as everything because it's everything we know. But God sees this life as a blip. This life is just this is that springboard. You know, you don't get judged for how you come off the springboard. You didn't. Now, you got judged on everything you did on those bars, but one of the things you did not get judged for was how you came off the springboard. If I used the springboard or didn't use it, didn't matter. How I got up there didn't matter as much as what I did when I'm up there. Amen? And the same thing is with us. Glory to God. We're not getting judged by how we get there. It's what we do in the process. Amen? Or you know what I mean. How we start. Amen? Well, praise God. Ephesians 5:15. Praise Lord. And I was in the scripture a little bit last night, these scriptures, for different things. But that's what I love about the scripture is that, you know, you cannot take the scripture. You can keep the scripture in context and sometimes deal with many different things. Well, I guess we are kind of dealing with a similar idea here, but not completely the same. The message is different. Amen? Glory to God. Ephesians 5:15, and it says here, we're going to read through verse 17. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And I'm going to do the same thing I did last night. I'm going to interpret this scripture based on what the words mean. Because when I first looked at this, I didn't understand what the word circumspectly means. I didn't understand what redeeming the time for the days are evil means. And so I'm going to break it down and tell you what it actually means. Amen? So maybe you know it, but just bear with us if you do. Another way you could read those first two verses is, "See then that you walk accurately and intelligently, not as fools, but as wise, making the most of the time or opportunity because the days are full of hardships." See then that you walk accurately and intelligently. The thing I'm focusing on today is, see then that you walk accurately. Amen? It goes on in verse 17 to say, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Therefore, because of this, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The first thing we have to understand about the will of God is that He desires for us to live, to act accurately. And I don't mean accurately according to you, but accurately according to Him. Why He created you, the purpose in which He made you, the things which He wants you to do. We are to live accurately in that life. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about another illustration here. I was thinking about this year, I got to go hunting, real hunting for my first time. And what I mean by that was local deer hunting. You know, I got to, thank you, COVID. I got to go on and get my deer hunting license online because of COVID, which was really helpful because I never was going to be able to get it otherwise because I could never make those meetings. They were always had the courses on the weekends, and I pastored two churches on the weekends, and I wasn't going to skip church to do it. And so finally, I was able to do that. Amen. And I got my hunting license, and I actually got to go out. And, you know, as I was out there, one of the first things that I learned, the first deer that I ever drew a gun up on, when I was looking at it through the scope, I started doing this. And I guess that's a normal thing for hunters to do, especially the first time, is they get so excited. They see it. They're seeing it in their scope. And you're trying to remember to breathe right and to keep everything under control. Amen. But then when I finally, I didn't get one in regular season, but then I upgraded to my muzzle loader, and I got to go into the extended season. And so I went with my pastor actually on his property to go hunt a deer there with muzzle loader. And I actually got a deer that night. But when I first drew on that deer, you know, I got up there and I was doing much better with my breathing and all that stuff. But you know what I did? I'm looking through the scope. I'm aiming the scope. You know, I'm aiming the gun. I'm looking through the scope on this deer. I didn't start doing this. Right? Because if I start doing that, what doesn't happen? The scope won't stay still, right? As soon as I start hopping, and I wanted to. I mean, you saw, like, as all we were seeing, you know, I wanted a buck for my first shot, my first one, and all we were seeing is doe. Doe, 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 doe. And then at the last second, a buck came out. Amen? And so inside, I'm going, you know, but I knew that I couldn't do that. Amen? See, if we spend our lives just boom, jumping here and jumping there and doing this and doing that, we're never going to be accurate. We need to hone in on what God wants us to do. We need to live accurate. We need to focus on what He wants. Breathe. Zone in on God. See what He wants us to do. And when we do so, we can hit the mark every time. First deer I ever shot at, I hit. First shot, amen. And he didn't get up again, which was good. He didn't go anywhere, which was good, because then I didn't have to go tracking all that stuff, amen. Why was that? Because I was focused, I was honed in, amen. And I'm not like a super practiced shot. I'm not like a super awesome, you know, with a gun or anything like that. But my point that I'm saying is that the same thing with life. Man, I got out of breath a little bit hopping around here. Whew. But the point that I'm trying to make is that we need to be accurate in our life. See then that you walk accurately. Amen. I love it that it says see then. Like make sure to it. Make it an absolute point in your life. Say, I'm going to live accurately no matter what. Amen. Glory to God. God wants us to get there. The days are full of hardship. There's lots of things that will come against us. Amen. But those are not the things that we can that we need to be focused on. And I love that it says to make the most of the time or the opportunity. You know, opportunities don't come every single day. You know, just in the night, I was focusing, throughout the night, I was focusing on some just different experiences that I've had with the Lord. I was focusing on some different times where God has like come to me and invaded my space in a very real way. You know, and it's like those opportunities don't come around all the time because it's not, God isn't in our presence in the sense of manifesting in our presence all the time. And he doesn't do that on purpose, and because there's an element of faith to life. There's a lot of other reasons, but God isn't, he's constantly there so we can rely on him, but not constantly in a way which we can point to and say, man, I had this experience, I had that experience. In fact, I have to say this, if you're a person who knows people that have, that are having visions all the time and having like dreams all the, and stuff like that, it's not God. Because God doesn't work that way. God isn't working all the time in booming voices. The Bible says that the most of the way that God will lead us is through the word of God and the inward witness, the small still voice. Amen. It's not a big booming voice, and so we have to be careful of those things. Those are often how times. Not saying they never happen. I've had visions. Glory to God. I've had quite a few visions, but I'm not having them every minute. Amen. I'm not having them every night. I'm not having them every day. And so we need to know that. But that's part of living accurately. See, if we don't learn how to discern the spirits, if we don't learn how to see what's God and what's not God, that's what, you know, discerning spirits basically comes down to that. If you hear me say that, you're like, I don't even know what the heck that means. You know, we have a natural life and there's a spiritual life. There's two different things going on, amen? If you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've been coming to church for any length of time, no doubt you have learned that there is more to life than just what you grew up with, right? Just with what the world taught you, what you learned in school, things that maybe, you know, them out there that are making laws, they don't know about. There's things that your teachers, they just didn't know about. Have you ever tried talking to somebody who's not a Christian? There's things they just don't know about. You talk to them and it's almost like it's up here, right? We have to remember that there is a natural life and there is a spiritual life. Unfortunately, most people live in the natural life, including a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians don't really step into true spiritual life. And so they don't discern the spirits. In other words, they don't determine what is really good and what is really bad. How many know for everything that God's, you know, the Bible says that there's a great and effective door open to me, but behold, there is many adversaries. What does that mean? There's many, at every door of opportunity, there is opposition to keep you from going in there. Why? Because the devil don't want you to get there. The devil doesn't want you to be effective at life. He doesn't want you to be an accurate life. He wants you to be distracted. What's the distraction? Well, the distraction is you're focused on God. Maybe you started going to church and you're focused on God and everything's hunky-dory and good things are happening. And then all of a sudden something happens over here and then you're like, man, what is it? I better attend to this. And oh, but then there's something over here. And then, oh man, I better attend to this. And then over here, there's something. What is that? It's distraction pulling you off of your accuracy. If you just, you know, when, again, back to the deer hunting thing, when I was focusing on the deer, I could see nothing else. I mean, and that can be dangerous too if you're hunting because you have to be aware of the surroundings. But you know, in the moment you zero in on that thing and it's like, that's what you want. Well, that's how we have to be with God. We have to zero in on him and not be distracted by anything else. You know, the Lord was showing me that this week. You know, I've been limiting my news intake and the things that I hear in the world, not because I want to be stupid or dumb to what's going on, but because I don't want to be consumed with it. And there's a big difference. And the Lord was showing me this yesterday as I just at some point in the afternoon, I decided to look at one of the news apps, and I just was scrolling through, and I'm reading just the headlines of each article was just enough to tick me off. Just enough to get me all riled up. Amen. And I'm like, the idiots, that's stupid. You know, these are the thoughts that you're having, right? And then I realize that's exactly what that's designed to do. See, the world is designed to rob our peace and to take us off of the truth. The truth is, and that's why I said when we reflect back and what the Lord showed me about the election and stuff like that, ultimately, when it comes down to it, who cares? Does this change my God? If this doesn't change my God, whatever it is, then it doesn't matter to me. Then it isn't going to change me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for things. Of course we should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't want good people in office. Of course we should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't desire peace and not war. And so of course we should. But that shouldn't be our focus. If our focus is God, if the church solely focused on God, all these things wouldn't be a problem. Because those things aren't changed by people's opinions. You know, there's this person that we're friends with on Facebook, and I'm not going to say their name, but they always post these, and they believe politically, they're right in line. They believe, you know, what we do essentially. They would vote for the same people kind of things. But what's funny is they are very consumed with posting memes. But the thing is, this person finds the funniest memes. And of course, they're not things we share. They're things we look at and just laugh like crazy. And so we just chuckle them. And every time we see them, we go, oh, and we say the person's name. So say, I'm going to just use Josh because he's sitting right here. It wasn't him. We're just like, oh, Josh. It's just another thing. You know, it's just funny. Just joshing. I'm just kidding. But, it's just another funny thing, you know. But the truth is this person is full of it. So much so it controls their life. And wrong, and they're a Christian too, and it's wrong. But see, I'm determining not to be full of it. I want to be full of Him. Don't be full of it, be full of Him. Amen? If somebody says you're full of it, say, no, I'm not full of it, I'm full of Him. But then you are, amen? Don't be full of it, because being full of it is bad. I've been told I'm full of it before. I think you've told me that a few times, amen? Glory to God. No, she can, though. She's my mom. She got to tell me once in a while that I'm full of it. And just because I'm her pastor, that hasn't changed. Sometimes she got to tell me I'm full of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. So we want to be accurate in our life. We want to live intelligently. We don't want to just do things. You know, Christians, I see so many times, I mentioned this last night in that message, because that message was about open doors and going through doors and stuff like that. And this was a little bit different. But, you know, Christians are the ones that always get caught up in the dumbest gigs. They're the ones that get trapped into the, you know, the pyramid schemes and the get-rich-quick schemes and all this stuff. Why? Because somehow they take God wanting you prosperous and turn that into a way of saying, okay, what stupid thing can I do today to make me rich? Like, God will do it. When I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord brought the increase. What does that mean? You do the work. God will bring the increase. You don't make it grow. Praise the Lord. You just do the work. You do the planting. You do the watering, because that's what your job is to do, whichever one it is at the time. Amen? But then you let God bring the increase. If you follow God accurately, He will increase you. There is no doubt. You can, in fact, a sure sign that you are not following God accurately in any given area of life. Any given area of life is, what is it doing? What's your life doing? If it's falling apart and failing, you're not following Him accurately somewhere. And that means you need to hone in. You need to zero in. You need to get a bigger scope. You need to do what you got to do, but you got to zero on in God in that area. And you can change your life that way. This is how God blesses people. This is how God works. When they say, I want God, I'm not after the thing anymore. I'm after God. I want what He has, and He will bless you. It is a matter of fact. I have seen it too many times, glory to God. And every time that it's been otherwise, I've also seen that it is not never His fault. Amen? Praise the Lord. Zero in on God, and He's going to help you with all those things. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are blessed. We receive the promises of God through the knowledge of Christ. So knowing who he is and knowing what he's about, amen? And this is just, this message is really to stir you in this, to have this really, you know, there may not be specifically instructions in this message as to what to do for this situation or what to do for that situation. But the direction of this message is literally this, to stir ourselves, to remind ourselves accuracy. You have to think about certain things to be accurate. You know, I remembered things that when the people that I, you know, when I was getting ready to hunt, there was a lot of hunters that I talked to, and everybody had some kind of advice. All of it was good advice. Some of it differed, but it was all good advice, and it was all based on experience to teach you how to do it right. And when it was time for me to use it, I drew on those things that were shown to me to be able to be more accurate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I just thought of another inside personal joke, and I really wanted to share it, but I think probably 3/4 of you would mean nothing to, so I'm just going to stop it. Do it anyways. Praise the Lord. Many of you know God, Jesus, called himself Lord of the Sabbath. Many of you don't know I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah, see, it was her fault, brother. The Sabbath's a thing that you put in a muzzle loader. I don't even know exactly which one is the Sabbath. I think it's the thing, but it's, I made the joke there. Yeah. Should have done it. Hey, but I did get some laughs out of it. And even if you're laughing at me, that's still a laugh. See, I learned that in school. I was kind of the class clown in school, you know. I was one, I would always do dumb things to make people laugh, even if it was like debasing myself or something. In fact, when I was in gymnastics, I used to do this thing because at one point, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You know, you got to hear this story, right? So, yeah, I mean, I was a teenager, right? And a lot of this hasn't changed. Well, what I'm saying has changed. I'm not still chasing cheerleaders, but I'm only chasing one cheerleader. And that's the one in the front row right here. Praise the Lord. She's making me run hard to keep up with her, but glory to God. But they put us in the gym because, you know, we weren't the football team. We were the gymnastics team. So, you know, the same year they announced that they were going to cut the gymnastics team, they bought the football players new uniforms. That's how it worked back then in the school, you know. And people wonder why I hate football so much. It's probably a good starting point. But if you ever wondered, brother, that's it. But one of the things they did do is because they were going to, you know, pack, because we couldn't have anything our own because, you know, the football players are the only ones that are going to get their own. We had to share, but they made us share with the cheerleaders. And we're like, okay, we'll share with the cheerleaders. I, at the time, you know, I was an unrenewed thinking teenage boy. So I was just like, heck yeah, you know, you bring in some girls and stuff like that. And so I started doing this thing because I always wanted to get the laugh. And so what I would do is I got really good at falling. When you're in gymnastics, you do that. In fact, for a while, I thought maybe I'd be a stuntman or something like that, and glory to God. And I got real good at falling. So what I would do is I would just jack myself up just to get people to laugh. And I would get running across the gym as fast as I could, and then I'd trip myself. And just like, but I'd make it fancy, you know what I mean? Because you can't just, you remember Charlie Chaplin? You ever, anyone seen his things? He would do the, I kind of like that. It was a little less graceful, and in my mind, it looked the same, but praise the Lord. But it got people to laugh anyway. So even if they were laughing at me, I learned early on that was still a good thing. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. See, this is all the bread. All that stuff is the bread that I put the pill in. You know what I'm saying? You swallow it. Glory to God. But you swallow it because it's good. It's the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God helps us, keeps us accurate. Amen. You know, one of the things that the Word of God does not do, it doesn't fail me. This is what I love about it. As I'll tell you, I have questioned more things about my own faith in 2020, in the beginning of 2021, than I ever have. More things. But what I love about what I've been taught is that the Word of God never fails me. Every question that I've gone to the Word with, the Word has answered me. Amen. Glory to God. Or God has answered me through the Word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:24. So you not do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? run in such a way that you may obtain it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This, of course, is talking about our race of faith, our race of life, glory to God, as we're living for the Lord. Run in such a way that you're going to be the only one to obtain it. You know, we shouldn't, and that doesn't mean that we cheat and that we knock people down and stuff like that. We know that no real good athletes do that, right? Only the despicable ones do. Good ones, what do? They run with honor, integrity. They train. They put everything they have in it. And then they give it everything they can to be accurate, to win the prize that's at hand. What's the prize that's at hand here is being accurate in this life that God has blessed us with. We have, you know, we have these few years, whatever they are, even if we live long on the earth, even if we live like Methuselah, 969 years, it's still not that many when you compare it to eternity. Amen? Glory to God. So let's run in such a way that we may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is what? Temperate in all things. Glory to God. Man, this word temperate actually, this word temperate literally means self-control. This is so important in our faith walk, to learn self-control. Now, how do we learn self-control? How do we, you know, I'll just say from my life, my past life that I came out of, various addictions and things like that, what was all addiction about? It was about the lack of self-control. That's all addiction is. That's why it's so prevalent. Because when you create a society that is so self-focused, what you get into is pleasing and appeasing the flesh. The flesh is this. You know full well that not everything you want is good for you. Even if you think most things that you want are good for you, you know that some things that you have wanted are not good for you. Amen? There have been a lot of things in my life that I knew weren't good for me, did it anyways, and then afterwards was affirmed they were not good for me. Amen? Self-control. God has given us the ability. One of the greatest things he has given us is the ability to control our own destiny. Amen? We get to control the outcome. We don't get to control everything. We don't get to control what plan he has for us. But we do know this according to the word that his plan is a blessed plan. So we don't have to worry about that. And that's why he made it a blessed plan and then told us that he's going to do it. Because he said, no, you don't even have to focus on this. You don't have to focus on making the plan or making the idea or coming up with, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this should not be a phrase in a Christian's mind. I'm not saying I never deal with it. But I'm saying we have to cast that thought down. How am I going to deal with this? I'll tell you how I'm going to deal with this. I've been born again by the blood of Jesus. Paid a price I couldn't pay. And then he gave me his Holy Spirit as a promise, as a guarantee, as an absolute. He put the teacher on the inside of me. He made me the temple of the living God, put his spirit on the inside of me and said, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to tell you how to do it. You just got to determine you want to be accurate. You got to be willing to put yourself down. See, because what not putting yourself down does, you know, the Bible says that we must crucify the flesh. What not crucifying the flesh does is it makes us not be accurate. It makes us be inaccurate. It's the wind that blows when you don't want it to blow. Glory to God. It's the storm that comes in when you don't want it to come in. Most of the things that we're going to deal with in life, the greatest things that we will have to overcome in our lives is us. Praise the Lord. How do I know this? Because the Bible says he's already defeated the devil. If he's already defeated the devil, he has no power over you. I don't think you heard me. I said, if he's already defeated the devil, he has no power over you. The greatest thing you will have to overcome is you. Not your spouse. Not your neighbor. Not your boss. Not your kids. You. You have to come, because it's all about how you think. It's all about how you react. It's all about how you receive. It's all about how you see. It's all about how you do it. Listen, your life ain't about nobody else but how you do it. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to be temperate in all things. Now, they do not do it to obtain a perishable crown. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Christians shouldn't be uncertain. You should not be one, like, it's not words that should come out of a Christian's mouth. Not if you know who you are If you know who you know you have access to all things. And what that means is this. Everything that God has does not belong to you. He has not given you everything he has. Why? Because if he gave you everything he had nothing left over for anybody else. But there is a portion of yours that's an inheritance. You know, I've had family members that have died. Now, I've never inherited any great and wonderful things, like big monies or anything like that. But one of the things I do know about it is that everyone has a desire in them that, you know, I have a desire if Jesus tarries and I go home to be with the Lord, that my kids get certain things. And I want certain things for Mark, and I want certain things for Caleb, and I want certain things for Ezra. Glory to God. Why? Because there's something specific for each one of them. There's something, there's a connection there. And that's exactly what God has for us. He has an inheritance, but that inheritance is not going to look the same. Now, he is not a respecter of persons. In other words, he's not going to bless one person like more. He's got all the blessing that you can handle. Amen. And more. Praise the Lord. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So, as the Lord often does, and when I'm preparing messages, he points to a certain word, or highlights a certain word to me, amen? And this time he highlighted the word discipline. That's a word most of us don't probably like. I don't like it. I hate discipline, but I work at it, amen? But this is literally what it means. And I saw this in the definition, I thought, oh God, that's beautiful. Beat it black and blue. Wow. That's what it means. What does it mean to beat black and blue? Now, you can beat something. You can beat on something and cause some damage and hurt. Like, you could beat. I've been punched before. Glory to God. I've punched before. Amen. But doing so doesn't always cause black and blue. But what do we know? The worst beatings are black and blue. Because those are the ones that broke stuff. Those are the ones that forced stuff. Those were the ones, those beatings were the ones that just, they went too far. And I am not making light, if you've ever been in that position where you've been beaten, I am not making light of that. Please understand that. But we're using it as an illustration here to understand what disciplining the flesh entails. It means sometimes you gotta beat it. And I don't mean, you know, some people take this too literally. They're out there whipping themselves and, you know, they're crawling up steps on their knees and stuff like that and making themselves bloody. And so God hasn't called us to that. That's masochism. That's demonic. Devil. You know, I used to cut myself. That was one of the things when I was in my teen years and I was out of my mind kind of and would do things. I would take a knife and I would cut myself or objects and cut myself. And I have scars all over myself from cutting myself, just doing it. That wasn't God. How many know that wasn't God working in me? That was the devil working in me. Amen? Thank God I've been delivered from that. Glory to God. The only time I cut my hair, if I cut myself now, I cry. You know what I mean? I don't really cry, but I don't like pain and stuff like that. And I used to live in that. And probably that's the reason I don't today, because the Lord is, you know, was able to correct my heart on that and think about it, right? But beat it black and blue. Sometimes we have to beat things into subjection. You know, I've used the example so many times. Sometimes we need little victories. And I'm just going to tell you, little victories are a great place to start. If you are overwhelmed with your life and you think, man, I am just the worst, I'm the worst. There's nobody worse than me. If you're just the worst, if you just think that you are, there's nobody that could possibly be worse than you, that there's no help for you, I'm just going to help you right now. Glory to God. Start with something small. Don't stay with the small, but start with something small. Don't try to change your life overnight. God will change your life. But look to him and start making progress. One of the things I often tell you about is I love candy bars. I love candy bars. And you can't say what's my favorite because I don't have a favorite. It just depends on what mood I'm in. Some days it's a Milky Way. Some days it's a Twix. Some days it's a Kit Kat. Some days it's a peanut butter, Reese's peanut butter egg. Glory to God. I could go on and name them all day long. I love food if you haven't been able to tell. But I love candy. John and Liz have learned a personal favorite of mine and they're not helping me sometimes because they'll bring us the, and I don't even tell you what they are, but they're so good. Oh, sometimes I steal hers. One night they brought them to the Corey church and she wasn't there and I'm like, well, she missed out. That's what you get when you don't come to church. I couldn't help it. But see, what do I do? Every single time, I'm telling you every time. I am in a grocery store line, a gas station line, or any place that has that stand with candy bars. They put there with me in mind. The devil told them that Jeff was coming, and they said, fill it up, because he'll probably get something. Well, I almost never buy them. Praise the Lord. Why do I almost never buy them? Not because God doesn't want me to enjoy life, but I know that that's an area that I have to defeat. I know that may sound little to you, but it's not to me. It's not. I mean, I used to live off of candy bars. I mean, just all the time we'd get candy bars. You know, and so the thing is, I started with something small. Now, of course, if all I'm doing when I progress through my Christianity as a pastor, if the only thing I'm disciplining my body on is just not eating candy bars, I'm failing as a pastor. Yeah. See, we have to progress to other things. We can't just say there. But when we get something where we can control it, then we move on to something else. But if we're in a place where we're out of control, we need to go first to the Lord, put it before him and say, Father, I know this is out of control. Stop justifying what you're doing wrong. Listen, just because you know, just because you are overburdened and you don't feel like you can do it, doesn't mean you justify it and say, well, it must be the way that I am then. You don't accept that. You don't have to accept that. If you screw up 1,000 times, you can do that knowing that that's not you. But what I'm saying is don't stay in that. Don't justify it. So say, well, I screwed up before. I'll probably do it again. After all, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I probably can't do it myself, so I'll just keep missing. No, don't think that way. Think, by God, I'm going to get over this mountain. Do you know what? One of the things that I go through, when I was a tumble tot back there in high school, I was in good shape. I was like, there was not an ounce of fat on me. It was all muscle and stuff. Of course, I'm not that way anymore. And one of the things that I've learned is that you have to take care of your body. Because if you don't take care of your body, you can be open to a whole bunch of things that can happen to you. Amen? Because healing doesn't necessarily work if you're just not going to take care of yourself. Yeah. So one of the things that I've dealt with is my weight. Of course, wanting to eat junk food and stuff like that. And also not even that. I'm on the road a lot. I travel a lot. And not just because we have fun, but I do so for the ministry as well. I mean, every Saturday, we're in Corey. And I don't like to eat before a service because I don't want to be full. It's not good to come in full like that when you're preaching. I just believe that. Because when you do, then you're lethargic. There's all kinds of things. But praise God. I just want to check the time. You know, there's a lot of things I just think they'll help people here today. Even if you can just bear with some of the stories. But you know, one of the things that I deal with in my body is weight fluctuation. I want to be a healthy weight. Sometimes you're so tired, and you all know what I'm talking about. But sometimes you're so tired, it's like I couldn't possibly lift a weight or exercise or go for a walk or anything like that. There's times, and you know, sometimes there's medical conditions and stuff, we have to look at those, but that cause different things, and that's part of a process too. We can't get down on those things, but at the same time, we have to understand that it is important. One of the things that I do over the past, before we were into this building, I had lost the most weight that I had lost since I had gained the most I had gained. And I had lost quite a bit of weight. When I see pictures of me then, I'm like, wow, I was really a lot lighter. I mean, I was like a good, from the most that I've been, I was a good 35 pounds difference. So that was, I was just getting to the place where I needed to be. Praise the Lord. And so, but then we got in the building program, and then we were just, we're focusing on this, and we're eating and doing, we're eating on the go, and whatever, somebody brings snacks, we'd eat it, somebody make food, we'd eat it, we didn't think about calories and stuff like that. Well, then I started packing on the weight again, and then I lost some again, and then I gained it back again, and then I lost. But one of the things I do every time I go at it, because I know it's something that it's important, every single time I go to do it, which I'm in the process of doing now, I say, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be what I should be. What am I doing? Even though I know there's a chance I might mess up at some point. I'm never not going to eat a cheeseburger again. I'm never going to not eat a candy bar again. But even though I know that I might mess up, what do? I keep going back. And this is how we have to go through life. This is an accurate way of living. It's to start looking at those areas that seem to be failures, not justifying them, and also not letting them bring us into condemnation. Because you're also not a terrible person. Right. You know, and what I'm saying is just if you have a desire in you for change to be better, you're not a terrible person. That does not mean that all people are not terrible people. I've known some pretty terrible people. I'm telling you, I've known some really, I know some pretty terrible people. What I mean is they are all about them. They don't care about people. They will lie, manipulate, steal. They'll cheat. They'll do whatever they have to do to get what they want. Maybe you know somebody like that too. But that doesn't change me. and it shouldn't change you. And so you don't look at yourself like that either. If you have a heart to change, you can change with the help of God. And this is what the grace of God does. The grace of God goes along with us and it works with us as we decide that we want to live accurately. In fact, I should say this is this. This time was the first time that I truly, did you bring out a picture? there's me, just in case you didn't believe me. I don't know if you can see it. I was holding that. I wasn't swinging. I was holding that. Like, it was one of a few people that could do that, Lord. What's that? Yeah. Well, it was true. Oh. Brother, I got pictures that are far worse than that. We can have a come to Jesus moment. I got some pictures on my phone. I don't have my phone, so I can't show you. Sorry. But I forgot my phone today. But, oh, glory to God. Oh, what was I saying anyways? But, yeah, to the glory of God. This time when I started trying to do it, I was looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to do this so I can be better for you. You know, because, you know, just if nothing else, it makes me lethargic when you know how it is. You know, I'm not talking to anybody specifically, but you know what I'm talking about. When something's out of order, it slows you down, right? And so that's what we have to fight against. That's what we have to deal with. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I beat it black and blue, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I remember one time early on when I was partying with some friends, and I was sitting there and I was smoking some drugs, and this is important for the story, so it's right. But I was in the process of doing it. I was smoking pot and getting really stoned. And as I was sitting there, I was talking about God. And I was talking about how this was wrong and that was wrong and so on and so forth. And one of the people that wasn't Christian looks at me and says, but God's okay with that? I was disqualifying myself. Everything I was saying to them because of how I was living was a direct violation of what I knew was good. And I was like, well, you know, nobody's perfect, and started getting into that. What's that? That's just justifying what I'm doing. That's coming up with a reason why it's okay for me to sin, but you not to. Listen, things, they slow us down. They don't make us better. You know why God tells us to live soberly? Because we live soberly. And literally, soberly, it means to be of sober mind, which drugs and alcohol, they take that away from you. Living soberly literally gets you into that place where you can clearly discern the voice of God. You cannot discern the voice of God if you are full of inebriation. Any kind of inebriation, whether it's a mental like affliction, like a mental like you're consumed with like say you're consumed with like pornography or something like that, you're not gonna hear the voice of God. If you're consumed with you know drugs, alcohol, those things, you're not gonna hear the voice of God. You'll hear voices, but they won't be God. I'm gonna tell you right now, God will not speak to you, or you will not hear His voice. You will hear voices if you are under the influence, but mark my words, it is not God. Never is. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's lots of people. There's lots of people that have thought that they heard the voice of God being under the influence, and all they've been hearing is the voices of demons. And see, that's the thing about the things of evil is until you put those things down, until you refuse it, until you refuse the things that cause you to see wrong, you can only see wrong. That's why we get so frustrated when you see somebody you want to help, but they won't listen. I've seen this even in my family and just in various different areas, people that are trying to reach people and trying to help people. And I'm like, listen, as long as they do what they're doing, you can't help them. So you're going to have to let them do it and pray that it gets bad for them. Because until it gets bad enough that they decide to change, they ain't going to change. You can't do it. Now, yeah, that doesn't mean you don't love people. You do love people. But you don't make it easy for them to sin. If you make it easy for someone to sin, my God, hallelujah. You make it easy for people to sin, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sin longer, and you might even lose them. That's the absolute truth. You might lose them, and it'd be your fault. Praise the Lord. The love of God withholds, it restrains when it's necessary. That's why God doesn't just give us everything. You understand that. You don't just, oh, well, I'm faithful to God, now I'm just going to get rich. God won't do that. Why? Because you being rich might ruin your life. If you don't have character, I have seen this so many times. People get money without character. What do? They train wreck. People get things. They get blessed without character. What do? Train wreck. I'm thinking of a family right now. Used to be a faithful family of God. I'm not going to say what church or anything, but there wasn't this church. But they were a faithful family of God. And all of a sudden, their business took off and they came into a lot of money. But they had no character. And they were even warned about it. And you know what happened? Train wreck. To my knowledge, none of them serve God. I don't even know if they're married anymore. Families all split apart. Praise the Lord. They don't have anything left. Their business is gone. Business was ruined. This thing that could have been such a blessing. See, that's why people, they need to think about things right. If you think about things right, if you live accurately, then those kinds of things, the devil won't be able to trick you because you'll be like, no, this is wrong. I know that I can't do this. This is wrong. See, that's why Christians that constantly toe the line, or they're on the fence. They're like, they say they're living for God, but then they're constantly living in the world, and they're constantly living like the world does. What are they doing? All they're doing is they're being wishy-washy, not accurate, and then they wonder why there's always problems. There's always problems because you're not living accurately. There'll be problems if you live accurately. There'll always be problems. But when there's a problem, the Spirit can talk to you and lead you out of it. And that's exactly what he wants to do. God doesn't want you to stay in perpetual trouble. What did the Apostle Paul said? He delivered them out of them all the trials. The Apostle Paul was delivered. Why? Because he lived accurately. Amen? Glory to God. Look at this. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. God has been bringing me back here so much. I've been asking God questions. You know that? The questions. You know, we have asked the pastor, but I also have asked the Lord. Glory to God. I ask the Lord all the time. God, what about this? And then all of a sudden, he brings me to the scripture like this. Do you know how many answers the scripture just like this can answer? I could get into stuff, but I ain't gonna today. And Aaron, you ain't getting me into it this time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love our church. I so love our church. We talk about it all the time. We have the greatest people. I just think about, praise the Lord. Aaron, you are so precious to me. You don't even know. Glory to God. And I mean that with all my heart. All my heart. Glory to God. Galatians 5:22. You others are too. I'm not saying just she is, but she's definitely at the top of our list. Amen. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what is a fruit? Fruit is the thing you get from the thing that gives it. Amen? Right? It is? It's the thing you get from the thing that gives it. I love that. That's a good quote. I can go on, but I'm not going to go on. But so the thing that you get from the one who gives it, the fruit of the Spirit, it is these things. These things that you cannot add to, you cannot take away from. If there was more, I'm sure he would have told us. If there was more, the Spirit would have told us. Why? Because the Spirit wants us to know what the fruit he gives is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So if you live in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you can't go wrong. There's no law against these things. Amen? But you got to know this, you know, because there's some people trying to manipulate everything. They say things like, love is love, but love is also, but it's also self-control. Yeah. Amen. Right. It's also long-suffering. There's also peace and joy. Yeah. See, you don't get to have one fruit and not the other fruits. Right. The fruit of the Spirit is what's produced. If you get an orange off an orange tree, you get all that's in that orange. Yeah. Am I wrong? That's right. Right? Unless it's not in that orange and you don't get it. If you want what's on an apple tree, you're not going to get it out of an orange. Yeah. But see, the fruit off the Spirit tree is this. Glory to God. All these things wrapped up. I don't know which part is which. I don't know which part's juicier. I don't know which part is sweeter. But all I know is this, is all these things, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. And so this is what the goal of every Christian should be. This is what accuracy delivers to you. This is what accuracy gets you. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. If it isn't in this place, I love that one, self-control. Oh, I could go on a soapbox here. I'm not going on it purposely, but we'll get on it at some point. Amen? But self-control is a very important thing. God has called us to be able to control ourselves. If that's a fruit of the Spirit, then that means it is absolutely obtainable. It is for us, because another thing the Spirit gives us is life through Christ. Amen? And if that is a guarantee, then these are guarantees too. If you live according to the Spirit, these things can absolutely be yours. Amen. They absolutely can be theirs. Against such there is no law. In verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh, passions and desires. You have to tell passions and desires no when they control you. That doesn't mean passions and desires are completely wrong. Praise the Lord. But we have to understand that we have to be able to tell it no when it's time. If we won't tell it no, nobody's going to tell it no. God isn't going to make it tell you no. He's saying you tell it no. If you don't crucify the flesh, it won't be crucified. I said, if you don't beat it black and blue, it ain't going to be beaten black and blue. So what's that thing that's hounding you? You ain't getting over it. God isn't just whisking it away from you. I say this about addictions all the time. Sometimes sometimes it's easier for people, and I know people, there's testimonies in here of people that have given up addictions, like even addictions that I've had, that have given them up much easier than I did. But what is that? It's the driving force. It's the driving thing in your heart. If it is so important to you, if you are so sold out to, this is absolutely no more, you will give it up. You will get beyond it. Amen? With the help of the Lord. Now, you have to trust in the help of the Lord. But we have to understand that. So it's a personal choice that we make. Amen? One who is consumed with their flesh will have a hard time hearing the voice of God. If you don't crucify your flesh, if you don't tell it no, if you don't get to that place where you can, listen, it is a travesty that we are teaching our children nowadays. My wife's seeing this in schools. One of the major things that is happening in schools right now is that these kids are not being prepared like they should. And I'm talking about across the board. And why is that? Because for one thing, kids don't fail anymore. They can't fail. They can't be held back. This is terrible. These kinds of things, there's no repercussions for the things that they do. So they can just get whisked through. Well, what do you think that trains them for in the world? We're already seeing the effects of it in the younger generation. My wife and I see it all the time. We're seeing even our kids not be able to do things that we can do so easily because we were just trained to do it that way. Why? Because there was a little bit of, you know what? It's okay if it's uncomfortable. It's okay if it hurts. It's okay. Listen, this is what a spanking does. Spankings aren't a bad thing. Beatings are bad. Spankings are not. You don't like it or not. The Bible tells us that. Spankings are not a bad thing. Sometimes you need a swift crack on the rear end to learn not to do something. No different than if you're going to touch a hot stove, you're going to get burnt, and God ain't going to stop it. And the reason he ain't going to stop it is you got to know not to touch that stove. If you don't have correction sometimes, if you, listen, you know another thing, a generation that is brought up with no discipline, they have no idea how to discipline their body. They have no idea how to beat it black and blue. Not technically beat it black and blue. We don't want kids self-abasing and beating themselves, but they have no idea because they've never been stopped. They've just been given everything and allowed to do everything. What do you think that will do to a generation of kids? We have to be mindful of these things. Again, and you have to do things in love and you have to do things in order and you can't be abusive and stuff like that. Of course, absolutely, we're completely against all those things. But you have to understand, you cannot just take and just give a kid everything and make it all positive, because life isn't positive if you haven't learned that. And if we train them that it's all positive, what are they going to do the minute they get out there and they find out it's not all positive? They're going to look at you and say, you're a liar. That's what they're going to think if they don't say it. But in this generation, they can just say it because we have no respect for authority. We have no respect for police. We have no respect for the President of the United States. Listen, I don't agree with one thing that this president has done so far, as much as I know what he's done, the new one. And he hasn't been in very long. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I respect him. I respect the office. Regardless how he got there, I don't care about any of that. I respect the office. Therefore, I'll pray for him. Therefore, I'll hold him up in my prayers because that's what honor tells me to do. That's what honor is all about. And I'm going to be an honorable person. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't mean to go over. Praise the Lord. But it'll help us. We need to crucify our flesh. We need to tell our flesh no. We need to say, you know what? We follow God, not man. That means we follow God's ways, not man's ways. And as we determine in our hearts to do this, we'll be people that will live so accurately that people will look at us and say, why, how? And all you can point to is God. Because God, amen?